Good morning, everyone. Friends, welcome to worship at Wallingford Presbyterian Church. I'm glad you're here on this sunny, is it spring yet? It's not spring yet, is it? Soon to be spring. As is our custom on the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate those who might be celebrating a birthday in March. I know for sure of one, which I never forget. Where are the other March birthdays? Well, we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you were born, and we're glad that you're sharing your life with us. There are words printed in the bulletin. They're slightly different, but we're singing them to the familiar tune. Let's sing to our friends who are celebrating their birth this month. My friends, the Lord be with you. Let us come to God in prayer. Holy God, wild and surprising God of the wilderness, as we begin this Lenten journey with you and with one another, we devote these next 40 days to you. And we pray that you will shape us by your Holy Spirit even more into the image of our risen Christ, so that we may be ready by your grace to confront all the different powers, all the different temptations, all of the different things that are a part of our life that we would like to change. And even that we might confront the power and hold that death has over us and over our world. And we might confront that with the promise of your love and your grace and your eternal life. So be with us this day as we sing, as we pray, as we listen to your word, both from scripture and preached, and fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand in body or spirit and join me in the call to worship. People of God, on this wilderness journey, what will you eat?
The word of the Lord is our daily bread.
People of God, in this time of temptation, how will you live?
Our faith is in the faithfulness of God.
People of God, at this kingdom crossroad, whom will you serve?
We worship the Lord our God alone.
Oh,
friends, be seated, and I'll invite our children to come forward for a brief time together. Good morning. How are you? Did you have a good week? You ready for spring to come? After all those days of snow days and delayed school because there was so much snow on the ground. I know, I'm just teasing. I know we've had no snow. Listen, I wanted to talk about being scared today. Have you ever been scared? What does that feel like? Yeah. Say it again.
Sort of like your mind is all mixed up.
Your mind is all mixed up, yeah.
Yeah.
Your heart skips some beats, yeah. It's not a good thing, is it? I was in the Navy, and I used to be on Navy ships. And this one time, I was a chaplain for a destroyer, and destroyers are probably some of the smaller of the Navy ships. And we were in a storm, and it was pretty bad, because when I was in the wardroom, which is where we eat, the cook only put half a bowl of soup in the bowl, because the ship was rocking so much that if he had filled up the whole bowl, the soup would have spilled out of the bowl. So we're going this way too, right? So we're rocking back and forth. So I didn't eat very much that day. And then that night, I went down to my stateroom, which is where we sleep, and I literally had to wedge myself into my bed, because if I didn't do that, I would roll over and almost roll out of bed, and my bed was about 5 feet off the ground. And that just started me thinking about just how well do Navy ships float. And I got a little scared. I was kind of frightened. So you know what I did? I started to remind myself of all of the good and the positive things that would help me to get over my fear. Like, number one, this ship has been around for about 20 years and hasn't sunk. So that's a good sign, right? Number two, I really trusted the captain and the other members of the crew. So I knew I could depend on them if I really got scared, right? Because I knew that they knew what they were doing, right? Number three, I knew where the life jacket was. And I knew where the lifeboats were. And we had been trained, right, that if something happened, we knew where to go and what we needed to do in order to survive, right? But after all of that, after I went through all of that stuff in my mind, I still had a hard time falling asleep, right? So I thought to myself, what is the one thing that I absolutely know for sure? And the first thing that came to mind is that Cindy loves me. Happy birthday, darling. But then the second thing that came to my mind is that Jesus loves me. And I knew that nothing could happen to me that would take that love away from me. And I felt a certain amount of comfort in that. So that's how I got over being scared. So I want you to think about, when you're really scared, I want you to think about all of the positive things, all of the people in your life that are there that will love you, that will support you, that will listen to you, that will care for you, that will help keep you safe. And then I want you to remember that no matter what, Jesus is always by your side and always loves you. Can we do an echo prayer before we go? You know what that is, where you repeat after me? Good morning, God. I'm glad I'm here. Thank you for my friends here in this congregation who believe in me, who will help me, and who love me. And most of all, thank you for the love I have in Jesus. Amen. All right, see you later.
Happy are those whose sin is forgiven, who no longer suffer in silence, but name their sin and seek God's grace. Let us confess our sin. Lord God, you know the ways of good and evil. You know the things that tempt us and the things that give us life. You know our nakedness and you know our sin. We confess that we have disobeyed your word, denying your providence and care, and relying on our own cleverness. Have mercy on us, we pray. Cover us with your grace, feed us with the bread of life, and recreate us in your image. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Happy are those whose sin is forgiven. Be glad in the Lord and shout for joy. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
people of God, body of Christ, sisters and brothers, what shall we do in response to God's forgiveness? As God's own people, we will be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind, always ready to forgive as freely as God has forgiven us. And above everything else, we will be loving and never forget to be thankful for what Christ has done for us. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of your mouth be our daily bread, and may the leading of your Spirit become our way. In Jesus' name, amen. A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. I invite you to listen for the word of God. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to fill it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Now a reading from the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. Again, I invite you to listen for the word of God. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to the condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
So a reading now from the Gospel according to Matthew as we begin this season of Lent.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the writers of the lectionary, which is an exposition of the scriptures over a three-year period, always try to tie in the reading of the psalm, the Old Testament, the epistles, and the gospels they try to weave them so that they make sense, so that we move from the Old Testament into the New Testament. So at the beginning, Lynn read literally from the first book in the Bible, the creation story, or one of the creation stories. To talk about what the church has come to call, in essence, the original sin. That's a whole other sermon, which unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for you, I'm not going to preach. But then there's Paul's entire exposition of here's what took place in the past, and here's what's taking place in Jesus Christ. So, you know, here's the difference, right? Here is where we were, and through Christ, here is where we are and where we can be. And then the Gospels really is telling a story. It's telling the story of how this all started, how this all began, Jesus' journey into the wilderness. And that's really what I wanted to focus on today. So think about it. 40 days, 40 nights. That's a long time. You know, we just sort of trip over that sentence. Yeah, he was in the desert for 40 days. But I want you to think about those 40 days and 40 nights to be by yourself. Now, can you even begin this imagining by remembering any time in your life where you were alone for 40 days and 40 nights? Alone, right? Alone. That means you're not going out for lunch. You might be by yourself, but then you're going out for lunch and there's a whole bunch of people in the diner. I mean alone for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, some of you may be thinking, maybe even particularly parents, boy, what I wouldn't give to be able to be 40 days and 40 nights, right? Away from work, away from the kids, or maybe away from school. But again, I'm challenging you to let that sink in, all alone for 40 days and 40 nights. Not only that, but in the desert, right? I think being alone is one of the hardest things that we do as human beings, even the most introverted of us. And I think for most, it's also one of the most frightening things that we do. I'd enjoy it for a little while. Being alone serves as a kind of retreat from the world and its pressures. I do it. I go up to a cabin and I stay by myself, and it gives me a time to renew myself. And that might be good for a few days, or maybe for a week, maybe even two, but 40 days completely alone. So let's take away all the distractions. No Wi-Fi, no internet, no Facebook, which is why my grandkids won't go with me to the cabin, by the way. No radio, no books. Alone for 40 days, 40 nights. Then I think the experience of being alone begins to turn upon itself. And sooner or later, if we're honest with ourselves, we begin to face our fears, as I was telling the kids. We begin to face ourselves. We begin to face our deepest selves. And we begin to ask hard questions about what we're afraid of, about who we are, about what the meaning of life is, about what we believe. I've always wondered what Jesus did for 40 days and nights in the wilderness. He's still dripping wet, according to the Gospels, from his baptism in the Jordan by John, when he's immersed by the Spirit of God into the desert wilderness, immersed into his vision quest, immersed into being totally alone. Now, of course, we know that Matthew is an editor of the Gospels account, and it's rich with traditional symbolic cues for the reader or the hearer to take notice. Water has always been a sign of a rite of passage for Israel, right? The Israelites passed through the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds as they escaped slavery and bondage of Egypt. The great Hebrew prophets and leaders all had their encounters with water, crossing over rivers, etc. And then number 40, of course, is significant. The Exodus lasted for 40 years. The water, number 40, the Spirit of God, the desert wilderness, all are sort of literary tools that Matthew uses to bring a certain significance of this particular time, but also for this particular time in Jesus' life, a connection of the Old Testament with what is now new. But what happened to him? What happened to Jesus in the wilderness? At the most fundamental level, he was tested as he faced himself and his fears. At a deeper level, he encountered God in the wilderness, and he was changed, completely changed by that loving encounter. He could no longer see himself or look at the world in the same way. He began to know his purpose, his essence, and he began to see the world through the eyes of God. Remember that in Hebrew, it says that, for we have not a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So this is not the Jesus of Hollywood who walks through the desert unscathed and untouched and comes out smelling nice and looking clean. This is not the Jesus of those who respond to the temptation story by saying that he was not really tempted, but set an example for us. These are the Christians who wish to protect Jesus from the trials and temptations and other difficulties common to humankind, for fear that convictions about his uniqueness will be eroded by such experiences. No. Jesus was tempted in his journey through the wilderness in every way, just as we are in ours. But Jesus is unique because of how he walked the journey and who he became and is. But I keep going back to, what did he do in the wilderness all that time? I guess he prayed. If he fasted for 40 days, he hallucinated, he slept. Unless he was really serious about fasting for 40 days, he looked for food, he wondered and he wandered. He must have been scared at times. He thought, he meditated, he was thirsty, he was hungry, he was cold, he was hot, because you do both in the desert. He felt lonely. He felt abandoned. He felt fearful. He thought about home. He thought about quitting. He thought about turning around. And he did all these things and more. And he did one more thing. Somehow, he connected with God at such an incredibly deep level, right? That he became a new person. He became the Son of God. And that changed his whole perspective. And then I guess on day 40, he rolled up his sleeves. He walked out of the desert saying to himself and to God, whatever it takes, even if it takes my life in the end, I'm going to change people so that they in turn change people so that we can change the world and its perverted understanding of love and what it means to be in a relationship with God. Together, we're going to make this right. Are you with me? All right, you're awful quiet. John Dominic Crossan was a Catholic monk and left the order, got married, and really a very thoughtful New Testament scholar, and he wrote a series of books. Actually, I just found out he's going to be at the Quaker at Pendle Hill for a class on the resurrection after Easter. But he wrote a little book. He tried to get at the very essence of what Jesus was saying, taking out all of the editorial comments, taking out of all the editorial comments made by the gospel writers and later on within the Christian church, and try to get back at what did this rabbi, this prophet, the Son of God, actually say. And he wrote this little book of what he felt were at the core of what he said. And I want to share with you some of the things, because they're very simple. So, Jesus' teachings, according to Crossan, set an example for all the world to see. The kingdom of God comes not at some future time. You cannot point out the sign and it's coming. The kingdom of God comes not at some special site. You cannot point out a place of its coming. The kingdom of God is already here among you now. Out of the crowd, a woman shouted, "Fortunate the womb that bore you, the breast that nursed you." Back to the woman, Jesus replied, "Fortunate the ears that hear the word of God, the will that obeys the word of God." Purity and impurity is not what goes into the mouth. Purity and impurity is what comes out. Boy, we got a lot of people who need to hear that these days. Forgive the debt owed by another as God forgives that owed by you. The somebodies will be nobodies, and the nobodies will be somebodies. This one, first time I read it, struck me. Only the destitute are innocent. Only those who have no bread have no fault. Only the despised are blameless. Love your enemy. We're still working on those. If someone strikes your right cheek, offer your left. If someone takes your coat, offer your suit. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, offer to go another. Save your life, lose your life. Lose your life, save your life. You cannot at the same time mount two horses. You cannot at the same time bend two bows. You cannot at the same time serve two masters. And lastly, we walk in the shadow of the cross. So, friends, today, let's enter the desert wilderness together, dripping wet from the baptismal font, if we can still remember that, dripping wet from the promises we make at the font and every Sunday morning. This Lenten season, let us accompany Jesus in a desert wilderness. Let us reflect on his teachings. Let us reflect on his revolutionary words, actions, and love. This Lenten season, let us be changed so that we in turn can change others, and together we might change the world. Amen.
Friends, please be seated. I just want to bring to your attention all of the various announcements that are printed in the back of the bulletin. And just a reminder that this Wednesday is our coffee house. You don't have to be polished and accomplished musicians or storytellers or whatever. It's really an opportunity for us to gather together, have a little bit of fun. If you'd like to participate by sharing one of your talents, please contact Lee, and she will fit you into our program. A number of other things coming up, which I know you can read about, but just a plug for the Progressive Dinner. It's a wonderful time for, if you're new to the congregation or you'd like to know more people, it's a great opportunity to be in a relaxed atmosphere and get to know some of the folks who are sitting in the pews. Next to you.
Thank you.
friends, be seated, please. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy One, in this dry and weary land, we give you thanks and praise. You provide for us in our need. You set a table for us in the wilderness. Even when we despair and complain against you, you feed us with bread from heaven. Even when we quarrel and question your grace, you give us water from a stone. How can we keep silent? Even dry bones in the valley of death stand and sing your praise. And so we give you thanks especially for Jesus, our way in the wilderness, our companion in the desert. He knows our hunger and our thirst. He gives us bread of life to eat and living water to drink. He leads us beside still water and prepares this table for us. The cup of blessing overflows. And we pray, O Lord, we pray as we gather together and are gathered by you. We pray for all the faithful. We pray for all the faithful who in our hiding place in times of trouble surround us with glad cries of deliverance. We pray for all who are hungry in the world, O Lord, who hungry for power sometimes and glory. We pray for those who are hungry just for a meal, something to eat. We ask that you might show the mighty that you alone can satisfy their deepest need, and that you might help us to feed the poor from the abundance of your good creation. We pray for your church, O God. We pray for this congregation, your church worldwide in times of trial, whether tested by tempestuous change or tempted by safety of the status quo. Give us all your peace, especially when anger and fear threaten to divide us and challenge us, and especially when we're too comfortable in this world. We pray for leaders in high places where, whether determined to help those who suffer or distant from the cries of the oppressed, open their eyes, open all their eyes to see your saving power at work, and open their ears to hear your prophets' calls for justice and peace. And we pray, O God, for the people who are near and dear to us, whose names are printed in the bulletin this morning, and also for those whom we keep in our hearts. You know their names, but we take time in this moment of silence to speak their names and share our private prayers with you. Lord God, instruct us in the way we should go, and let your steadfast love surround us always. For we prayed in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to say when they pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have a tremendous gift because, my friends, we don't have to walk alone through the wilderness. Choir, we love you, and you're in this, but I'm going to have them face each other. So face each other. Because these are the people that God has given you to walk through the wilderness with. These are the people that you can rely on, that you can lean on. These are the people that you can say help, or you can say joy, or you can say concern. These are the people that God has given to each of you and to me as a gift to walk the wilderness journey. And for that, I give God great thanks. And I hope that you do too. And I hope that because of that, you will leave this place knowing that you are not alone and that you're never alone. That these are your friends and these are the members of your family. And that Jesus always, always is as close to us as the bread we just ate and the grape juice we just drank. Go in that knowledge and in that peace. Amen. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us leave this place by sharing the peace we have received.